Right, good morning. How you doing? You well? I'm sorry I'm a few minutes late there. I've had a microphone issue. The microphone that I usually use that I connect up for this for some reason is has been giving me a lot of problems, a lot of distortion. So I've had to disconnect it, and I was fiddling with the settings to try and remove the distortion, but I couldn't manage it. So there you are. I'll have a look at it later on. So I'm using the basic microphone with the laptop, so it might sound, well, it will, it won't sound as good as it normally sounds, but that's what we call improvise, adapt, and overcome, children. That's what we do. Good morning. It's the 2nd of December 2019. It is colder than a witch's teat in Salford in Greater Manchester. It is absolutely freezing, and but it's nice, it's bright, and it's very wintry out there. Yeah, so I hope the sound isn't too bad. It's a new laptop, this, so maybe I've not heard the microphone. I'll listen back to it later on, and I'll try and figure out then why I had problems this morning. So I better just dive straight into it. Chat amongst yourselves on the chat there. Welcome, by the way, to those of you who have joined me this morning. Let's go straight to the newspapers. And I suppose you won't be surprised to learn that the papers this morning focusing quite heavily on events in London on Friday. Not only the newspapers, the news programmes this morning on radio and television, exactly the same blanket coverage of what happened on Friday. Here's the Mirror, front page of the Mirror. Betrayed is the headline. Brilliant and kind Saskia Jones, 23, was the best of us. Was she? Why? But like Jack Merritt, she was murdered by a barbaric terrorist and failed by a cash-strapped, broken justice system. And now Boris Johnson admits 74 more extremists are free to walk our streets. Make that 73. Because apparently one of the 74, a man was arrested in Stoke-on-Trent overnight. Somebody who had been released early is back in custody. Although it has nothing to do with the Usman Khan attack on Friday, allegedly. That's the Daily Mirror, right? Front page of the Mirror there. Get rid of that. The Sun, the tabloids were kicking off with this morning. The angels stolen by pure evil. All very dramatic stuff in the papers this morning and in the on the breakfast programs as well. It's all very dramatic, the use of language, angels stolen by pure evil. Again, I don't know what was particularly angelic about this woman, Saskia Reeves, or the chap Jack who was killed on Friday. I don't know what made them special, these people. I didn't know them. So I won't be pausing at 11 o'clock for a minute's silence. I won't be getting a train down to London for a fucking candlelit vigil. Because I didn't know these people. And I really don't give a fuck, to be honest. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's honesty. It's naked, fucking blatant honesty. I don't care about these people. I didn't know them. I find it regrettable, of course, that anybody would find themselves stabbed to death by anybody else. But funnily enough, over the weekend, a young boy was stabbed to death by five guys outside a pub. Any candlelit vigils for him? Will Sky News be rushing to the scene of the stabbing outside the pub to present their programmes for the next 2 days while they talk about heroic passers-by and first responders? No, they fucking won't. Ask yourself why. That's the Sun. Heroes, members of the public, all this shit. They rinse and repeat it every time something happens. Killed for caring. They were killed for caring. Of course, there's no truth in that. They weren't killed for caring. Ah, that's the Metro. Second victim is named. Have you no empathy whatsoever? Of course, I'm a human being. You would rather these things didn't happen. But I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to lose any sleep or that I am deeply saddened by the deaths of these people. I'm not. I'm not. I've just had some breakfast. After this, I'm going to go for a run, and it'll be the furthest thing from my mind until 5 o'clock. Let's be honest about it. There's the Daily Telegraph. Terrorists freed early to be sent back to jail. Well, the allegation in the Telegraph this morning is that because of the public outcry at the fact that 73 terrorists who had been released early after serving half their sentences, automatic early release, because of the outcry from the public, they're going to be rounded up, these people. Here's the article in the Telegraph today, right? Terrorists freed early to be sent back to jail as associate of London Bridge attacker first to be recalled. That's the guy in Stoke. The Telegraph says he's an associate of Usman Khan's. However, the police who have arrested the guy have said that he had nothing to do with whatever took place in London on Friday. Okay, in case you were on Mars, there was a knife attack on Friday. Man was shot dead, having fleed an event. We'll talk about it more in a minute, but not too much, because I know you've heard pretty much everything there is to hear about it thus far. Not thus far, but over the weekend you've been hearing about nothing else. Spy chiefs on alert for London Bridge copycats is the headline on the front page of the Times. Again, it's the story. It's all fear porn, this. The idea that there are copycats out there, possibly, determined to follow in the footsteps of Usman Khan and randomly stab people on the UK streets. So the Christmas markets, this, I suppose, is no great surprise. Christmas markets in the UK's towns and cities. Manchester takes over the city for a few weeks before Christmas, and armed to the teeth robocops are patrolling now. These are cops that have helmets on. They have scarves covering their face. They've got heavy duty uniforms, Kevlar, hardware, submachine guns. It's fucking dreadful, really. But that's the result of what's happened on Friday. Right? And you'll have people walking around the UK streets saying the utterly sheep-like people will be walking around saying, ah, well, it's good this, it's for our protection. It's for our protection. It's good. It's good that we're walking around now at events that we should be, you know, that we've traditionally had, where we mingle with people, we have a cup of mulled wine, or warm cider, or a hot whiskey, or whatever the fuck. Now, every fourth or fifth person you're bumping into is a police officer, armed to the teeth. Here's the Mail. Again, if there's any issues with the sound, I apologise. I can't use the very expensive microphone that I normally use, because for some reason, it's distorting like a motherfucker. And I haven't touched the settings on it, so I don't know why it's doing that. I don't want your advice either. If I wanted it, I'd ask for it. Let's look at the Mail. New blitz on freed jihadis. Well, that's the same as the Telegraph story. They're going to round up the 74, just in case, like. Why take a chance? Is the scene. The Express. Everything is working slow this morning. Boris blitz on free jihadis begins. Same again. Johnson, of course, was on the Andrew Marr show yesterday in lieu of his failure to appear with Andrew Neil. Marr challenged him on this, on what had been done. Bit of a blame game going on. Conservative MPs on television this morning blaming Labour for it, even though they've been in power for 10 years themselves. It's a nonsense, really. That's the Express. Let's have a look at The Guardian. The Guardian, PM accused of exploiting deaths in terror attack. One of the victims, the family of the man murdered on Friday, have been explicitly asking the political parties not to try and exploit it for political ends, but also not to you know, pushes further down the path of draconianism in terms of our response to it. That's the word coming from the parents of the man, Jack, who was murdered on Friday. So that's The Guardian. The Financial Times then has a story about climate change and fund managers should be fired over emissions failures. That's interesting. The COP25, we might talk about that briefly, of course, because there is a lot of climate change news around this morning. We might come back to that in a second. The Star then, minus 14 degrees, Arctic bubble will sweep in from Norway. Lovely. And those are the front pages, or those were the front pages of today's newspapers. Very good morning to you. Let me very quickly say a quick few hellos and read a few comments. Hi to Paddy Dunn. How you doing, Paddy? Paddy thought I sounded a bit downbeat on Sunday View. I was in good form yesterday. I'm generally in good form, me. Norfolk says, did you hear the terrorist stabber had knives duct taped to both hands? Yes, I did. Hi to Mel Gallagher, who says, did he have carpal tunnel, hence the need to duct tape the knife to his hands? Manzi says, it was easier to stab people when the knives are taped on because they don't slip out of your hands. Four Jam Lines says, they said he can had a gun, so why use knives? Did they say he had a gun too? I didn't know that. That's interesting. By the way, the holding image, the test card that I used before coming on this morning was sent by a lovely gent whom I met in Manchester a few weeks ago at the Meat Space event organised by Trigger Warning. Paul and Emily, and his wife Emily. Paul's a bit of a genius. They're from Bournemouth. And he made up that test card for me, so I don't have to use the old BBC test card anymore. So massive thanks to Paul. Thanks, Paul. It was nice to meet you. And nice to meet Emily as well. And I hope I'll see you again in the future. It really was a good event. I really enjoyed that. Good morning to Anne Gladman. John Sheridan says the sound is okay. It's only okay, John, but it's a microphone that comes with the laptop, so it won't be great. So I will say it for me. I will sort it out later on. Hi to Wayne Davis, who says, hand in your pocket again, Richie. Morning, by the way. What the fuck's that supposed to mean? I've got a problem with a microphone. The microphone is fine. Hand in your pocket. When have I ever asked for money for equipment for this radio show? Never. I've never crowdfunded. So I don't know what you're talking about. So how about you fuck off, Wayne? How about them apples? Good man. Good stuff. Hand in your pocket, please. Don't make me come and find you, Wayne. Hi to Bernadette Black. Goose and Gander, says Bernadette. Yes, indeed. Hi to Stu, 81. Hi, Richie, as it is, but. That's the super chat message. I don't know what that means. Monty says, as usual, the timing and the anomalies are hard to ignore unless you really ain't getting the picture. I feel like I've seen this movie before, says Monty Mole. Yes. Sean Roach says, good morning, Sean. Seems strange that members of the public managed to disarm him, but RoboCop becomes judge, jury and executioner and couldn't detain him. Well, they said he had what appeared to be a suicide belt on him, mate. I can't comment because I don't know. You know, it's feasible thinking the guy had a suicide belt that they decided to shoot him in the head. Very feasible, but I don't know. We'll have a look in a minute at the reaction to this. Okay. Thanks for your comments so far. Right, so it's getting a lot of coverage, right? They're having a vigil today. They're having a vigil. Sadiq Khan. Why? Why are they having a vigil? Why? Why a vigil at the scene where presumably hundreds, if not thousands, of people will turn up? Why? Why a fucking vigil? Why? For two people that were stabbed by a crazed terrorist. Why? Why? Somebody help me out here. Why? I know why. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because this is a massive mind control exercise. That's what it is. That's not to say that what allegedly happened on Friday or that which we were told happened didn't happen. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it for a minute. That the guy didn't lose his shit at the event he was invited to attend, where he was being upheld as a model of de-radicalization. Because that's what happened, allegedly. This guy, okay, who had attended other such events since leaving prison in December of last year, was held up as a model of what it is possible to do with radicalized terrorists. On Friday, all was going swimmingly, but apparently he flipped. He left the room, tipped, made himself look like Edward fucking Scissorhands, and then apparently he came back into the room and went on a wild stabbing frenzy with a fake suicide vest. He killed two people. Thankfully, only two people. If it is the way they say it went down. Or if it went down the way they said it went down, thankfully. He only killed two people. Why a vigil? Why a vigil that is going to be covered live by every television company in the United Kingdom? Why? Because it is a massive fucking mind control exercise. Why do we not have reporters reporting from the scene of some of the other horrendous crimes that we have seen taking place in the UK this year? Namely, crimes that involve children stabbing other fucking children to death. Why? Why? Do you know why? I'm sick of telling you why. I've written about this. I've talked about it on countless radio programs. A vigil. You're going to stop today, you are. You're going to stop today? Are you? You're going to stop at 11 o'clock to stand there and watch the TV and remember the two victims whom, really, Jack Merritt and Saskia Jones. I don't know why I said Saskia Reeve. She's an actress, isn't she? Saskia Jones, God help them, both of them, by the way. Pathos. Buckets of fucking pathos thrown at the screen. Heroes. Heroes. Polish guy grabbed a tusk from the wall, he's a hero. Everybody is a hero. The first responders are all heroes. The cops who shot the guy dead, they're all heroes. We have to come together. They'll never defeat us. They hate our diversity. They hate our way of life. We won't allow them to win. That's what you're going to hear all day long. Is anybody shaking their head, scratching their head, saying to themselves, what the fuck is going on? No. Is anybody asking themselves, why is the media carrying on like this? This is conduct unbecoming of journalism and journalists. Why, what are they doing? Why aren't they asking questions about this guy? Why is the man's solicitor saying he just cannot believe his fucking ears that this guy did this? It was all going swimmingly. He had it all going for him. Just went mad. Frenzy. Turned himself into Edward Scissorhands. Started killing people on Friday. I'm not saying he didn't. I am not saying he didn't. I leave that to the truth or industrial complex. Lawyers who profit, make money from making up stories and, you know, assigning blame 5 minutes after something happens, assigning blame. They don't know. They weren't there. Lots suspicious about it. Not least the British Transport policeman walking away with the knife in one hand, and then reaching into his pocket to throw away what appeared to be a handkerchief. And of course, video has since emerged of him seeming to wipe the knife with the fucking handkerchief. Have you seen that? Nothing to see here, says the media. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Let's just talk about the heroes and the first responders. Let's talk about ideologies. Let's talk about Facebook and social media. But let's not talk about some of these strange and bizarre things that were going on Friday. If I was the brother of Jack or Saskia or a friend of theirs, I'd want a little bit better than that for my journalists here in the UK. Vigil. Let's have a vigil. Let's fucking not have a vigil. Let's not. Or at least let's have the intellectual capacity to start to wonder why. Why so much coverage of two people being murdered? Why? Keep saying why. These are great words, who, what, why, where, and when. The media's forgotten them. Forgotten them. Who, what, why, where, and when. Where, why. Why did it happen? What's happening here? Crazy. Farage in the Mail today. Well, this is, he was taking part in a debate on ITV last night, hosted by Julie Etchingham. The jihadi virus. Number of commentators, I touched on this yesterday on Sunday View. A number of former probation experts on armour. A number even, I'm tired this morning, a number of academics and criminologists are introducing a new word. They're introducing a new variation on explaining these attacks. And they're using this guy, Usman Khan, who appeared to be de-radicalised. And because he obviously wasn't, and because he obviously fooled everybody into thinking he was, they're introducing now the notion, they have been, and it's brand new. I picked up on it over the weekend, that it's a sickness. It's a mental illness with these guys, these extremists. And as I suggested on the radio show yesterday morning, well, that segues eventually into considering the possibility that anybody with a point of view or an opinion, or anybody who has an explanation for geopolitical events, be it wars, Syria, Yemen, in Libya, well, that person might be a bit sick. You see, that will replace conspiracy theorists, that notion. He's not a conspiracy. He's not a tinfoil hat conspiracy. He's not a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. He's sick. It's a sickness. That's where we're going with this, right? That's Farage in the Mail today. The Mail, to be fair, does go with a story about the fact that this guy seemed to have been rehabilitated. He was doing well, writing poems, appearing at events. Friday he went mad. Right? Crazy. The Times, they're worried about copycats. Spy chiefs on alert for London Bridge copycats. So there's a lot of talk today about the need, in the short term anyway, around Christmas, to get more and more armed police on the streets. Is that a payoff? Is that one of the payoffs of this, is it? Get people used to going places and being surrounded by armed to the teeth policemen, like I described earlier on, in your train stations, in your airports. That it? Maybe that's it, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? Hi to Gary Rayner. How you doing, Gary? Lovely stuff. Lorraine Tullett says, if he just flipped, how did he happen to have a pretend suicide vest handy? Not to mention the knives and the tape. None of this adds up, says Lorraine. I don't know. I don't know, Lorraine. It's a really good question. Sinan Crowley says, can you imagine anything like a vigil happening when the IRA were terrorising London? No. This is the thing. This is the thing. They are trying to create a mindset. Isn't that it? It's by a mass mind control exercise. What they're trying to do is to create a state of mind, a uniformed state of mind amongst ourselves. And it's multi-layered. Fear being one of them. They want people to be in fear all the time. The second one is they want us to be divided. The irony is the terrorists want to divide us. The terrorists don't like our way of life. The terrorists hate multiculturalism, blah, 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 blah. But the agenda is to divide us along the lines of race, religion, sexuality, identity, gender identity. Of course, that's what you're seeing here, right? An event like this, look at how this was covered when it was happening. You had the usual Muppets like Paul Joseph Watson from InfoWars and some of the race baiters on the right, the heroes of the truth or industrial complex on the right, you know who they are, right? Talking about, I'm not going to go on with this, to be honest. I'm going to leave this for now, this particular subject. It's exasperating to be covering it. It really is. It's exasperating to be watching the reaction to this and for there to be no discernible reaction amongst the public, for there to be no discernible kind of disbelief from people. Why are our news companies given blanket coverage to two people being stabbed on London Bridge? Why vigils, candlelight vigils? Why, you know, never-ending speeches about the heroism of people who were there and the heroism of the first responders? Why are they so similar in nature, the attacks themselves? But why is the response to them, you know, so uniformed in terms of the language used by the journalists on the scene and by the politicians around it? And why is that not provoking a reaction from the general public? Why is the general public not saying, listen, this is all too weird. What's going on here? But they're not. And I don't know the answer to it. Billy Dee Williams is gender fluid, apparently. Lando Calrissian, Star Wars actor, he's in his 80s. He's gender fluid. He's both male and female. It's according to Sky Today. Thought you might be interested in that. Lovely. Oh, Christ, I'm all over the place this morning. I spent so much time trying to get that microphone fixed, it's just scrambled my bloody brain. Nothing wrong with the microphone, it's got to figure the settings out on the playout system I'm using here. I just can't figure it out. Trump won't be sending any lawyers to the impeachment hearing on Wednesday. More distraction, this. More nonsense. This is in the New York Times. I displayed this, I showed this morning because a number of you are very interested in Donald Trump. And some of you still believe that Trump is engaged in some titanic battle against the forces of evil from his bunker in the White House. He's not. That's the New York Times. What else have we got? Panorama tonight is going to show the Virginia Roberts Giuffre interview. It's going to be interesting, is it? Something in the news this morning about the BBC scaling down on or scaling back on the promos for it. It was going to run a lot of promos today across its various TV and radio programs, but it's decided later on not to do that for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe they felt that there's been a bit of overkill in terms of the promo for the program, but they're scaling back on it. That's Epstein. So the Daily Mail is not letting the Epstein thing go. A lot of coverage of Andrew in the Daily Mail yesterday and the Mail on Sunday. What else have we got? Zambia is not a nice place to be gay. A gay couple have been jailed for years for no other reason than they're gay. This is fairly shocking stuff, this. It's in Africa. The president of Zambia sat down with one of the Sky News foreign correspondents to basically say that there are no place for gays here. Crimes against the order of nature, these two chaps minding their own business, jailed for 15 fucking years. Absolutely batshit fucking crazy, that. Japhet Chitaba and Stephen Samba in jail for 15 years. The president of Zambia, Edgar Lungu, he's been warning the United States and pretty much everybody else to mind their own fucking business. Great. Ironically, you got Peter Tatchell, who's an old friend of mine. If you believe Peter, things are still pretty much terrible for gay people in the UK. They're fucking not. It's never been better. Never been better. There's no existential threat to gay people in the UK. Thankfully, there isn't. Thank fuck there's not. There's none. Gays have it all their own fucking way now. So when you're, if you're a young gay man or woman in the UK and, you know, you're fucking mired in your own fucking identity, fuck right off. Look at places like Zambia. Look at places like Iran and elsewhere. Terrifying for these people to live their lives as who they are. You've got fuck all to complain about here, I would say. But then, to be fair, this sort of crap here is not necessarily coming from gay men and women. Stonewall charity, LGBT charity, is saying that we should be teaching children about LGBT issues and we should use the rainbow flag to help them learn about colours. And we should use LGBT identity in across a broad spectrum of subjects, whether it's geography, whether it's mathematics, whatever. We should use the opportunity to talk about gay people and stuff like that. What's it to you? Well, I don't care whether somebody is gay or straight, but I would rather they allowed five-year-olds to just play in the mud and just be loud and shouty and run around fucking screaming like children are supposed to do, right? Right? And not be talking to them about their sexuality. Don't tell them anything. I'm not a Christian here. I'm not suggesting that you sit five-year-olds down and tell them that, you know, the only way is mommies and daddies. I'm not fucking saying that. I've never said that at all. I'm saying leave them alone. Again, though, my gay and lesbian friends, and I am somebody who has gay and lesbian friends, genuine ones, real ones, they say, Richie, where the fuck? Exactly. Where the fuck is it coming from and why? Leave them alone. Teach them mathematics by asking them questions like, how many biscuits are left at Fatima and Shanika's wedding? Lesbian couple getting married. Is there any need for it? Like I said, in the UK, it's a fantastic time for LGBT people. What about that lesbian couple who got beaten up on the bus? It's an anomaly. It was an anomalous attack. Very, 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 very rare for a couple to be exposed to that. Couple of young fucking dickheads who taunted a lesbian couple on a bus and beat them up pretty badly. Thankfully, the wankers are in jail now, where they belong. But that's not the norm in the UK. Far from it. Very anomalous, that incident. Dreadful for those two women. Thankfully, the two fuckers who did it are in prison now. That's where they should be, right? But don't point at an extreme, isolated example, a violent example, and say, oh, it's terrible for gay people. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. All sorts of people get beaten up on fucking public transport. There's a lot of anger in society, a lot of hatred, a lot of aggression, a lot of inward hatred and angst because of the lunatic asylum that we walk about in. A lot of reasons why people are angry and fed up and despondent and despairing. Of course, it's not because they fucking hate gays or because they hate Jews or because they hate Muslims. It's the oppression coming down on them. The madness of fucking driving 2-3 hours to work in the fucking freezing cold to a fucking shit job that you don't want to do. The madness of coming home and not spending quality time with your woman or your man, not seeing your children. Because if you don't, you'll be on the streets. Or you'll be going to a food bank. That does things to people. It puts them in a state of rage and anger. So people lash out sometimes. They see something, they lash out. It's not hate crime. It's just anger. Justifiable anger. Lashing out at people is not justifiable. The anger itself is justifiable. But that's what you get. It's a great time to be gay. So if you're gay this morning, don't be racing to the bottom in the UK. Don't be assigning yourself to the LGBT identity fucking pigeonhole and seeing the world through the prism of your sexuality, because it's a load of bollocks. Doesn't matter what you fucking are. And before you do that, think about Zambia. Think about Iran. Fucking two guys in jail for 15 years. That's where there are problems for LGBT people. But not in England. Don't think or imagine it. Well, just in case you didn't know, we're all going to die. The COP25 talks open again in Chile. And it's just a we are all going to die festival. We're all going to die. And the point of no return is in sight. So no more diesel cars, no more red meat, no more farming a certain way. No more heating your home in the winter. Crazy. Fucking crazy. Right? Of course, the BBC is, well, led the world in telling its editorial staff balance is no longer required when dealing with climate change. The matter is settled, says the BBC to its employees. Forget about it. It's over. It's happening. We're all going to die. And that's how you've got to cover it. Right. We're all going to die. All of us going to die. Lovely. Fucking madness. Ireland is fucking broke, right? The Republic of Ireland? Well, it's Ireland. Fuck this Republic of Ireland nonsense. It's broke, right? Not got a pot to piss in, right? Can't feed its own people, right? It has to sign off its spending plans. Its budgets must be signed off by the Troika. Fucking three men in suits that come from Germany, right? Right? But nevertheless, Ireland is not doing enough in terms of its financial contribution to helping climate change elsewhere in the world, according to the Irish Times. It needs to increase its financial contribution sixfold in order for Ireland to do its fair share to help the developing world cope with climate change. I know. I know. Yeah, I have mornings like this, yeah. Yeah, you get up and you think, I just want to go back to bed. Just want to go back to fucking bed. It's no good to me going back to bed. I wouldn't sleep. But just go back to bed. Forget about it. Put an old film on the TV. Fucking crazy. Why? What is it that is so vexing about it? There's no resistance to it. There is no resistance. There is a lot of virtue signaling truthers on YouTube and on Twitter and on Instagram talking about it. Nobody's doing anything about it, though. Nobody wants to do anything about it. Crazy, isn't it? Imagine that. Ireland, you're not doing enough. Ireland is fucking broke. It's been broken by the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund. But you need to spend hundreds of millions more on climate change in developing countries. Yeah. And breathe. Crazy. Something occurred to me, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching the imagination here a bit, but these terrorist attacks that occur just before elections, yes, suspicious, of course. Qui bono, right? Who benefits most? You can make an argument that there is a wide variety of benefactors. Or those who benefit, I should say. I don't know. Divide and conquer is a big thing for the elite. It's a huge thing. Get us hating each other over petty differences. It's always been the way. I've said this so many times, I'm bored myself. I'm boring myself right now, honest to God. I want to shut up talking now because I'm boring myself to death. Divide and conquer. Get us fucking killing one another over petty differences. Our sexual orientation. Who gives a fuck? Right? Our religious belief. Again, who gives a fuck? Why does it matter? Doesn't, but it does. It doesn't, but it does. We have been induced to think it matters. Not all of us. Not me. But the majority of us. Right? That's the payoff. Divide and conquer, divide and conquer. I was out running yesterday after Sunday View and a thought occurred to me. we don't see too many black, Asian, minority, ethnic victims of these terrorist attacks, at least the recent ones in the UK. And I wondered, is that just a coincidence? Which it might be. It might be. I'm not saying anything here. It just occurred to me on the divide and conquer thing. So here are the pictures of the misfortunate 22 poor creatures, God love them, who were killed on May 22nd, 2017, here in Manchester at the arena. There they are there. Right? 22 people. Not an Asian or not a black person amongst them. What does that mean? It might mean nothing. I don't know. Here are the victims of the London Bridge attack of 2017. Again, just before the election. London Bridge 2017, not 2 days ago. Not a black or an Asian or a minority ethnic person amongst them. The chap on the left is a British Filipino. The other ones are Spanish and French. The ones you think might be Asian, they're not. What does it mean? It might mean fuck all, I haven't a clue. I'm not delirious, but I had one of those nights where I hardly got any sleep at all. I'm not delirious. So I'm in a strange mood. So maybe I'm talking through my arse, but then I do talk a lot through my arse, don't I? It's a great skill, that. Actually see the moving while I'm talking. So does that mean anything at all, does it? Or is it just a coincidence? London Bridge. Manchester. No black. No Asian. No minority ethnic. I just wonder. It might mean nothing at all, but maybe it does mean something. You know, when you start to talk about divide and conquer. I don't know. But it works anyway, you know. The conservative right goes into overdrive, loves it, you know, talking about migration. And the conservative left then does, sorry, the lefty left, the progressive left, well, it goes into overdrive doing what it does. See, I'm screaming at one another. Corbyn, to his credit, yesterday, in a speech, said something about Iraq, didn't he? And about wars of aggression in the Middle East. You wonder why so many of the truthers on the conservative right, they don't want to talk about carpet bombing Yemen by proxy, by giving Saudi Arabia the money to do it. Destroying Libya, as David Cameron and Barack Obama did, destroyed the country. Our own parliamentary inquiries into Libya found the intervention in Libya to be utterly wrong and totally unlawful, and that David Cameron lied through his fucking teeth. Murdered Gaddafi, country's a fucking basket case, refugees. We arm head-chopping Wahhabist lunatics, flood them into Syria, pretend that they're moderate rebels. Fucking carnage, right? Refugees. Inevitably. Overwhelming amount of people coming out of the country. Decent people who are apoplectic. Lives destroyed. What the motherfucking fuck is going on, right? But amongst them, of course, a few of the jihadi lunatic head choppers that you breathed life into. Your government. These are conversations we're not having. These are conversations that Alex Jones and his fluffer, look it up. Fluffer is somebody who gets a pornographic film star ready for action by performing oral and whatnot on them. That's what Paul Joseph Watson does for Alex Jones. That's what he used to. He's a fluffer. Primes him for action. These programs and others used to talk succinctly and properly and educationally about these things. But now they've joined the alt-right, conservative right brigade. So now you got to demonize. You got to demonize people from the Middle East. You've got to race bait, as they do. That's what you get. So what's left? Where in the independent media are people talking about this properly? Discussing it properly in context? They're not. So there you are. The radio show is on at 5. I will take my leave of you until then. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. And we'll do it all again at 5. Bye for now.